Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, best show of the week live in L.A. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Our four picks this next hour, 1 hour from now. My pick of the year in the NFL in 1 hour. My pick of the year. Everybody from Will Blackman, Kevin Clark's going to stop by. He's just an absolute riot. For the Ringer NFL writer, Rich Ornberger come on the show. Former Patriot comes on the show today, and Joy Taylor is joining me. This will be my favorite show of the week. We kind of preview. We don't preview games a lot on this show.
No.
We're kind of talking about all four games today, and a lot of different information coming in. The Browns may hire a coach in the next several hours. That's happening as well. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. I'm very excited for this weekend.
Yeah, so let's talk. Okay, let me just talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy GQ. Okay, so this weekend, I think they're as good as anybody in the NFC. I think they're going to win the NFC. I think San Francisco is going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl against Kansas City or Baltimore. And we'll get to those picks in 1 hour. But I think they're really, really good. I did like them slightly over New Orleans. Now the Saints are gone thanks to the Vikings, who I think the Niners will beat. Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, there are witnesses to this. I said for years when Garoppolo was backing up Tom Brady, I said, go get him. What do you need to see? And then with only 12 touchdown passes and only 7 starts in his career, he got a massive contract. It was $137 million, and everybody freaked out, and we say, well, we said he earned it. Well, what do you mean he earned it? Well, let me ask you. He's a young man, right? He shows some elite skills, right? There's something called seed money. Do you know what seed money is? Seed money is when a bunch of young tech people, 16 years old, 18, 20, 21, 22, they've got an idea and they start a business, a tech company, but they don't have any capital. And so they go to rich people and they ask for seed money to make their company grow. And they ask for $1 million, $2, $4, $6, $8 million. I've been in one of these meetings one time. Where do they go to college? What's their plan? Are they good communicators? Because you really don't know. You have no idea if the company's going to work because they don't really have much of a company. And so you have to judge them on, are they good communicators? What's their temperament? Do they have some elite schools? Where do they go to college? What are they providing the market doesn't have? And then big rich dudes, not me, write them big fat checks. And they have earned that money. They have earned it through communication and an idea and verbal skills in their presentation. And where do they go to school? Well, Jimmy Garoppolo, like a kid looking for seed money, had gone to the University of Bill Belichick and was 5-0, and then he got his master's at UC Kyle Shanahan and was 2-0, so he never lost a start. I think I'm reversed on that. I think he was 2-0 with the Patriots, 5-0 with the UC Kyle Shanahan, and he's 7-0. He was a good communicator, good-looking guy who played with a ton of confidence. He had zip on the ball, and like the kids starting a tech company, you really didn't know, but you kind of did know. That's why you write the check. He absolutely earned it. Folks, we give $12 to $15 million a year to quarterbacks who haven't taken a snap in the NFL. Baker Mayfield's made a boatload of money. Can he even play? So you're going to give first-round picks 30% bust. You're going to give them tens of millions of dollars. But Jimmy Garoppolo, in 7 starts, had never lost a game. The look, the athleticism, the presentation, the communication skills. He was good when the camera was on. He was good when the pressure was on. And you're going to struggle giving him money? He had earned that money. And now, like when you give seed money to tech companies and they hit, it's stealing. Because you only had to give $500,000 and now it's worth $250 million. And Garoppolo now is stealing money. He only makes $26 million a year. That is a steal. For a number one seeded quarterback in the NFC who's going to play at home and give you 2 home playoff games, you'll make half his salary in 2 home playoff games at the gate. You know how much money an NFL team makes for a playoff game at home in San Francisco, what they charge in Silicon Valley up there in Santa Clara for tickets? They'll make half his contract these two home games. So we're always caught up in, oh my God, Jimmy, is he worth it? Has he earned it? Young kids who have tiny little companies, who went to great schools, who are verbal, who have an idea, who present it to super rich guys, get checks every single day in this country. 75% of them, those companies dry up, never make a dollar. Jimmy Garoppolo has been Uber. He's been Facebook. Are you kidding me? A number one seed, home games favored in the NFC. The Niners will win this weekend. He has been worth, as we predicted, every single penny, and darn right he earned it. So I want you to think about this. There are, this weekend, when you're watching the games, we all talk about quarterbacks. But five of the eight playoff teams this weekend have great, impactful rookie wide receivers. I mean, they walk out of college. They walk into the NFL. Boom, impact. DK Metcalf for Seattle. How about Deebo Samuel? San Francisco's a kid. A.J. Brown at Tennessee. Hollywood Brown with Baltimore. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, young. D-Hop, Will Fuller, Houston. Devontae Adams, Green Bay. These are kids. They're not that far to college. All sorts. All these teams have just special guys. And yet New England can't find one single wide receiver in a decade. N'Keal Harry this year had 154 yards. That's weird, right? That's a weird blind spot for the best coach in the history of football. And I have been critical of Bill Belichick, but as you watch the great receivers this weekend, Kansas City's got one as well. Two, Tyreek Hill and Hardman. When you watch this weekend and you see all these dynamic receivers, why is it that the dynasty, the smartest football coach of our lives, they haven't gotten one right in a decade? So let's look at the NFL teams. I always blame Belichick on this. Is it Brady? Let's look at the NFL teams, the four to five that we think always tend to draft wide receivers and develop them really quickly. Pittsburgh, Seattle, Green Bay, Kansas City, and Houston. What do they all have in common? Big Ben, Russell Wilson, Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, light bulb. Quarterbacks that extend plays with their legs, allowing wide receivers more flexibility in their patterns. A receiver now has 4 to 5 seconds to get open, not 1.8 or 2.4. We blame Belichick for all this receiver stuff. But quarterbacks that extend plays are the franchises where all the receivers seem to work. Isn't that funny? Maybe it's not Belichick. Maybe it's Brady, which is why I've said this is a perfect time for Tom to retire. Bucky Brooks wrote an article yesterday saying Patriots should let Tom Brady walk. In it, he points to a very intriguing stat. Not only is Brady incapable of attacking the entire field as a passer, but on throws, what they call out-wide throws, outside, big throws, speed receivers, he's 32nd of 32 qualified candidates. Folks, N'Keal Harry is not a bust. He can play. He is not a bust. But receivers are the most NBA-like athletes. They're tall. They're fast. They're vertical. They're special. They break the huddle by themselves. They're ISO acts. And in Tom's rigid, tiny system, you're asking an NBA player to not jump high, not run fast, get open quickly, catch the ball in a system. There's no excuse. The dynasty's dying because they can't elevate an increasingly important position, wide receiver. And Tom can't do it, and I love Tom, but it's time. It's time to wrap a bow on it. Josh McDaniels probably getting that Cleveland job, losing all sorts of coaches. It's funny, when you watch the playoffs this weekend, watch how many great young receivers that walk into this league and make massive impacts. They all have one thing in common. They play with a ad-libbing quarterback, a quarterback that can extend plays, give a receiver more opportunities to get open, Let the most NBA position in the NFL be vertical, be fast, be creative, be expressive. That is just no longer possible with TB12. And you know I love him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So I want to say this. We're talking a lot about the hiring practices. It looks like Josh McDaniels is the leader in the clubhouse to get the Cleveland job. It'll be combustible. I'll say that. Between Baker's personality, Jimmy Haslam's personality, and Josh McDaniels' personality, that's a lot of combustible. I think it's better than Freddie Kitchens, but there's a lot of stuff about Josh McDaniel that's very Lane Kiffin. IQ way up here, EQ a little lower. It's combustible. Fist fights in the film room, whatever. So we'll get to that later in the show because it could happen by the end of the show. But there's a lot of talk about some of the NFL's hiring retreads and this retread stuff. You got to remember, any job that's high compensation and high pressure has big turnover. In America, the turnover rate for the average American job is 3.5%. In tech, it's 13%. For CEOs last year, it was 17.5%. A lot of pressure. For NFL coaches, it's over 20%. This was a year where they only fired, what, five guys? Jacksonville kept theirs. Atlanta kept theirs. In most years, you're replacing seven coaches. This year, two survived the cut. Dan Quinn was going to get fired by week 9. They got hot in Atlanta. And Doug Marrone survived mostly because Tom Coughlin took all the heat. And so they're bringing him back. But those guys were literally, that decision was made in a room over a Bourbon Rocks. And somebody said, let's keep both those guys. Five guys are out. So remember, retreads are the ones winning the Super Bowl. Belichick got fired. Pete Carroll twice. Of the last 23 Super Bowls, 15 have been won by retreads. Gary Kubiak, Mike Shanahan, Tom Coughlin, Dick Vermeil, Belichick, Dungy, Pete Carroll, and John Gruden wasn't fired, but he was traded to Tampa. In a high compensation job with high expectations, with an absurd turnover rate, you're going to give people second chances. CEOs get second chances. Head coaches get second chances. I've never been somebody bothered by people getting fired. Oprah got fired. She's sort of my idol in this business. Howard Stern got fired. Jerry Seinfeld got fired. Mark Cuban got fired. J.K. Rowling got fired. Walt Disney got fired. Folks, talented people are outspoken. Outspoken people see the world differently. And they're not willing to have lesser talented people above them pushing down. Walt Disney's like, I'm out. Mark Cuban, I'm out. Howard Stern, I'm out. Jerry Seinfeld, Oprah, I'm out. I'm out. J.K. Rowling, I'm out. Walt Disney, I'm out. So the fire doesn't bother me. Firing usually means you have a strong point of view, you're kind of willful and aspirational, and you hit a ceiling or a boss that didn't get you. I'm not saying Jim Schwartz, I wouldn't hire again. It's nothing against him. He went to Georgetown. Smart guy. It's not a guy I'd give a second chance to. Steve Wilks in Arizona got 1 year. I'd give him a second chance. All my sources think Steve Wilks, who was the Browns defensive coordinator last year, they like him. They like him a lot. Maybe a little over his skis. Cliff Kingsbury bombs, probably not going to give him a second one. He's a college guy without a winning record there. But you wouldn't hire Mike Tomlin if the Rooneys moved off him? Really? You wouldn't hire Mike Tomlin? You know that a year and a half ago, John Harbaugh was in trouble until Lamar Jackson happened. You wouldn't hire John Harbaugh? By the way, Andy Reid got fired. You don't think Kansas City should have hired him? We're making too much as Mike McCarthy gets the job in Dallas. Mike McCarthy got to a Super Bowl and won. He kept winning his division. By the way, Green Bay never bought great defensive players. He mostly did it with average to below average defenses. It's okay. It's okay to get fired. And in high compensation jobs, tech, CEOs, football coaches, just because you get fired doesn't mean you can't improve and you can't get second opportunities.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. That's me. That's the show. I used to scout in the NFL. Now I talk about football for a living. You can find me on Colin Cowherd's podcast network. Coming up on this show, Joe Judge to the Giants, Matt Rhule to the Panthers. Who's going to end up in Cleveland? Talk about all the hirings. And you know I'm diving deep into all the playoff games this weekend. Again, John Middlecoff, that's me. Go subscribe. Three and Out Podcast.
Former NFL offensive lineman, great radio TV guy down in San Diego, former Patriot. We love him. Rich Orenberger joining us here in the herd. Have not had him on in like a month, and we need some Rich to be enriched. All right, let's start with this. I started the show talking about how young kids who are 17 to 27-year-old in Silicon Valley and all over the country are looking for seed money. And they go to good schools, and then they have a little business, but they don't have any scratch. And big investors give them millions of dollars, and I think they've earned it. They've earned it by the presentation, by the idea, by their ability to communicate as they present it. Jimmy Garoppolo, similarly, he went to a good school, University of Belichick. Then he went to UC Shanahan. He was 7-0. He was very verbal, good communicator. So when he got his contract, everybody freaked out. And my takeaway was, no, this is what we do in America. Young people show us just enough, and we put our arms around them, and we invest in them. So let's go back. You were a Patriot.
Yeah.
You were pro Garoppolo.
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, so we didn't overlap there, but a lot of the guys who I played in New England with, I kept in touch with. I'm like, so how about this Jimmy G guy? I keep hearing about him, backing up Tom for years.
Yeah.
Everybody said that it was just Tom Jr. I mean, this guy is as good as Tom Brady. I mean, legitimately heard many times, as good as Tom Brady. He's just a little bit more careless with the football at practice, but even the way they speak, the way they command the huddle, he learns a lot. He absorbs things. He's just smart as a whip and can make all the throws and has better athleticism. So the guys who were waiting to see when this sort of change of hands was going to take place in New England were really comfortable with the idea that Garoppolo was going to be the next. And, I mean, he's showing that in a lot of cases in San Francisco, and that's a new offense he had to learn. But these guys automatically started just following his lead. I mean, from day one, from start one, and you could see it, that's what they invested in, a field general. And they're going to have him for the next 10 years at least.
Yeah. I want to talk about – there's ways to retire. I think John Elway, MVP, Super Bowl, Seacrest out. Derek Jeter gets hits his final couple at bats. It's perfect. Then there's Muhammad Ali fighting Larry Holmes for a check, and it's just bad for everybody, including Ali, the sport Larry Holmes. Tom Brady, to me, wrap a bow on it. It's perfect. The band is breaking up. Josh McDaniels is leaving. He cannot make now, quote, the wide side of the field throws, up the field throws. There's a rigidity to his play that's very hard for young receivers, N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, to really integrate themselves into the system. I can love Tom, but I'm old enough. I've seen boxers fight one too many fights and quarterbacks take one too many hit. Where do you land on Brady retiring?
The best movies that I leave the theater are the ones that leave you wanting a little bit more, the ones that I dislike are the ones where I walk out and I go, that was a great movie, but it was a half hour too long.
Yeah.
And that's where we're getting close to with Tom Brady. Now, he was my quarterback when I was in New England. I love the way he plays. I love the leader he is. And I think he can still do it. But because you still can doesn't mean you should. I mean, just because you have more film in the can doesn't mean we need to see it. Leave it on the editing room floor. Some of the best movies have the best editors attached to them, and it's for that reason. Look, I don't remember Favre as a Viking, even though he's a Pro Bowler there. I remember him as a Packer. I mean, you could say what you want about Montana winning a playoff game with the Chiefs, but I remember him as a Niner. I'll never think of Tom Brady as anything other than a Patriot great. And I think it's okay to say, I've did everything I need to do, and I did it in one jersey, shake Bob Kraft's hand, and ride off into the sunset. Even if your last play is a pick six, there are a lot of unhappy endings in football. Go on and run your TB12 fortunes and enjoy retirement. Go fishing, work part-time at a hardware store, whatever you're going to do.
I think he'll be at Home Depot wearing an apron very soon. Before we get to the games, because you've got strong feelings on all of them, I do believe in, I just said this, high compensation, high pressure jobs, tech CEOs have a high turnover rate. The national average is 3.5, tech's 13, CEOs was 17% last year. NFL head coaches over 20. Mm. This year we had 5 lose their job. Dan Quinn and Doug Marrone, somehow there was a life preserver thrown to pull him into the boat at the very last seconds, or it would have been 7, which is a quarter of the league. Josh McDaniels, I do think I would give him another job. I'm just not sure Cleveland, with an impulsive owner and an impulsive quarterback, is the right job. I'd like more stability. What do you make of Josh McDaniels and the Browns? Because that's the leader in the clubhouse, and we could have an announcement tomorrow morning or today.
I think it could work, and I'll tell you why. Because second chances, even though at first glance, when he left Denver and there was shame around, you know, his first attempt at being a head coach, it doesn't mean that it can't work the next time. In fact, the best coaches, the best players learn the best from their mistakes. I can learn as good from a good example as I can from a bad example.
Oh, I think bad examples are easier to – I think Joey and I have talked about this. My shortest stay in television, I learned the most, and that was in Tampa. I learned what not to do.
Exactly
right. That happens all the time.
And so from a personnel standpoint, from the way he controlled that team, I mean, there are some things that I'm sure he walks away going, boy, if I had another opportunity, that would go completely differently, and it might go better. And I also think that the Cleveland Browns need an offensive-minded head coach. They need somebody who's going to lock arms with Baker and is going to be there with him for the remaining time as a Brown. I think that could be Josh McDaniels, and they're going to be linked in this. You have to do it for Baker. He's already had three head coaches. I mean, you fired his first one. He had an interim, and he's on to the next. And you have to have some consistency. Otherwise, this situation could turn into what was the 49ers situation with Alex Smith, who turns out is a pretty good quarterback when he's in a consistent setting like he became when he was a Chief with Andy Reid. So I think this marriage could work. Now, discord with the Browns organization, it's all about fit, though. Things could look a lot better for the Browns, like they did for the Patriots, who are a laughingstock for years before Kraft bought the team and Belichick was there. Consistency can really heal things.
By the way, I'm getting tired of this narrative. USA Today did it today. It's like, people, stop. Lamar Jackson got drafted in the first round.
Mm.
Okay, let's stop the sympathy tour. Baltimore passed on him in their first pick, allowed Cincinnati a shot at him. Nobody knew it was going to be this good. With Bobby Petrino, never completed 60% of his throws in college. When you're a unique talent, you're harder to evaluate. Dirk Nowitzki was 7-1 and didn't like playing in the post. He went ninth.
Yeah.
Easily the best player in the draft. Steph Curry shot the ball from 33 feet. His range was so unique, people are like, you can't do that in the pro basketball. Now, if you don't shoot a three, you're a bum. So you look at Lamar. Do you know, of all the quarterbacks playing in the playoffs this weekend, this is how hard it is to evaluate this position. The highest draft pick is Ryan Tannehill.
Doesn't that shock you?
Now, look at this is the screen. Look, Ryan went eighth. By the way, two number two picks, RG3 and Marcus Mariota, are busts and backup this weekend. This position is Johnny Unitas, ninth round, Bart Starr, 17th, the GOAT, Brady, sixth. It's hard. So here's my thing with Lamar. Let's enjoy it. He went first round. It's so much fun to watch. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I called him a project. So I didn't whiff, but I didn't see this. Did you?
No, absolutely not. I didn't think the game would transfer. And it doesn't have as much to do with his unique skill set. More that, did you really feel an offensive coordinator would be particularly amenable to changing their offense completely to match what he did while he was at Louisville?
That doesn't sound like the NFL.
No, this is a very rigid league. You're up against most offensive coordinators who want to amend player skill sets to their offense. There's an ego involved there. I'm going to find the right guy, and he's going to champion my ship.
That's right.
Meanwhile, what's taking place in Baltimore is beautiful. This is what we should always do. Take the best ingredients and say, okay, what is this rutabaga saying to me? What is this turnip all about? And let me make the best stew possible, as opposed to saying, let me buy the pot first, right? No, buy the best ingredients and then make your stew.
Yeah.
And that's what the Baltimore Ravens did. And by the way, I mean, really, the heartbreak around where he was drafted and how it works out. I mean, that's the guy he replaced. That's literally what happened with Joe Flacco. Sort of an undervalued guy out of Delaware.
Transferred in college.
Exactly. You know, you had a couple of guys ahead of him on the depth chart to start that training camp. He won the job. He won the hearts of Baltimore. He won them a Super Bowl. We're seeing a very similar trajectory with Lamar Jackson.
Why do we love the Joe Burrow story, where he was sort of cast aside at Ohio State? Don't we love the comeback story? Why don't we love that people passed on Lamar and he's shoving it you know where. That's what I love the Dak Prescott story. I love these stories. Drew Brees, everybody passed. That's part of the Drew Brees. A little short. He went to Purdue. He didn't have a great arm. For some reason, we can't enjoy the Lamar story. We're mad about it.
I don't understand.
Neither do I.
Well, isn't it also, this is life. Like, in a lot of ways, it's the ones we didn't see coming, right? I mean, you can say, like, you know, whatever. You can say, I scouted this position. I scoured every moment, and I found the right guy. And a lot of times, I mean, that doesn't work out. It's the guy who's been on your roster all along. It's the rom-com that we go and see. It's like, well, it wasn't the handsome guy who was standing there with the broad shoulders. It was kind of his geeky, dweeby friend who ended up getting the girl. That's how it always goes.
Half the NFL is undrafted. Yeah. The NBA is not. You can, by the seventh pick of the NBA draft, historically, you run out of Kobe's. I mean, you get to about, like, there's a number in the NBA draft. It's like 12 or 13, and you run out of stars. They're all exceptions after that. Let's break down the games. Let's get to it. Minnesota, San Francisco. I could argue two of the top three rosters in the National Football League. What say you?
They are built almost identically. I mean, they really are. Really strong, physical, aggressive defenses, a run game that really scares you in a lot of ways. Both teams want to run the football. They want to use their quarterback as a complement. They don't want to highlight Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco the same way they don't want to do that to Cousins in Minnesota.
Do you know quarterback rating? Garoppolo's 12, Cousins 13.
Yeah.
They're a lot closer than you think. I like Garoppolo more, but they're similar.
Throw another guy into that. Aaron Rodgers is right there. And we'll get to that game in a second, but Aaron Rodgers, another guy, is being used as a compliment right now. But back to Vikings San Francisco, when you think about these two teams, what it's going to be is who wins the war of attrition. It's going to set up a lot like the Seattle 49er battle. It's going to be great defense, running the air out of the ball, and not putting Kirk Cousins into a situation where he has to do it all. He won that game in OT against the Saints.
Yeah.
It's the first time and maybe the only time we've ever seen him do that in a real big moment. Don't make it about him. I think this game comes down to Mike Zimmer's defense against Garoppolo. And can he decode what's happening? Because Mike Zimmer did a fantastic job disguising coverages, getting aggressive in the blitz package against the New Orleans Saints. He kept them guessing. He kept Drew Brees off balance.
They never got into a rhythm.
Never got into a rhythm, and that's rare to see in New Orleans. So I think if the Vikings do that against the San Francisco 49ers, they have a chance. But I really feel like the motion's going to run out. I think the Niners win this game. It's very difficult to have a win like you had in New Orleans and come back and turn around as a locker room and say, and we're going to do it again.
All right, coming up next, Titans-Ravens. Similarly, this is why I like the Ravens. Tennessee, man, that may have been the biggest Music City win in a decade. Mm. Foxborough, Belichick, Dynasty, Brady. Let's do it again, fellas, against a significantly better team, I think, in Baltimore. But you think it's got potential for an upset.
Ooh, man. People are probably going to be upset with this one. But I think the road ends for Lamar Jackson here.
Oh, Lord!
Yeah, and the reason why is because the Tennessee Titans, they are just bad dudes. They want to bring a level of violence to the field that we really haven't seen since the 2000 Ravens. They have a nasty defense. They have a defense who's going to come up line against you and say, look, we're just going to pound you. We're going to pound you. Now, if they can make open field tackles against Lamar Jackson, good on them. I don't think that's going to be the game plan, though. I think they're going to blitz the dog out of the Ravens. They're going to get to the mesh point in the backfield. The only place Lamar Jackson is vulnerable is in the backfield, whether that be in the passing game or the run game. So in the passing game, for obvious reasons, we all see what a pass rush can do to a young quarterback. But in the run game, because everything's deception, everything, who has the football? Get to him, and you're going to find out real quick, because a quarterback doesn't want to get hit, especially when their hands are in the chest of their running back. So I think if the Titans come out fast, and if you win that toss, you take that ball.
Oh, you do not defer.
You do not defer. You take that ball, and you sit on the ball. You run the air out of that ball, and you don't give it back for 7 minutes at a clip. You sort of devenomize this Ravens offense by getting blitz heavy against them. And then you say to Lamar Jackson, can you beat us one-on-one down the field? And there's some good matchups there. You know, Brown downfield, it scares you. But you have to roll the dice if you're going to beat a juggernaut like Baltimore, and I think they can.
Texans, Chiefs, Kansas City's defense. Andy Reid off a bye. Love that. He's very good. I get that. The Texans, to me, were outgained and trailed more than they led this year. But again, Deshaun's the human life preserver, so he saves the day with a flag football play. I like Kansas City here. What say you?
You want to talk about lacking rhythm. This Houston Texans offense is so herky-jerky and unpredictable. There's no rhythm to it whatsoever. You know, Deshaun Watson with the Texans this year reminds me of Aaron Rodgers with Mike McCarthy. Go save the day, Aaron. Our game plan, Aaron Rodgers, all two, ready, break. And that's what it is with Deshaun Watson. It's backyard football. This guy scrambles. He improvises. He makes plays. He's a linchpin to their success in the run game. Their offensive line isn't very good.
Not the right side of it's bad.
Yeah, so you really have to depend on Deshaun Watson to win this game for you, and I don't think they will because Andy Reid, like you mentioned, after a bye, you know what that's good for? About a 10-point lead to start a game.
Yeah.
I really think his first 15 plays are going to dissect what the Texans' liabilities are defensively. And you're going to see a Chiefs team out in, with a lead early in this game with Mahomes, who's the future of the quarterback position, Arrowhead going nuts, the Texans playing on a tilted field all game long. This is a Chiefs win, and it may be the biggest margin of victory we see this weekend.
Finally, Packers at home against Green Bay. I think the number's about right. Seattle last week, now they're down to their fourth and fifth string running back. They averaged They just couldn't run the ball. So you're asking a very depleted Seattle team that can win one way, save us, Russell. So I'd probably go Green Bay. But as I've said many times, I don't love the Packers this year.
This game comes down to Aaron Jones, not Rodgers. They have to run the football. Again, like I was talking about the San Francisco
49ers. Seattle's good against the run.
They are good against the run. But I will say this, the Packers really, they played against a lot of teams great against the run, and they've moved the football on them. This is going to be another one of those games. You know, think about how the Bills looked against the Houston Texans. This could be low scoring, bad weather game. And I think that actually favors the Packers. I understand a lot of people are used to looking at the Green Bay Packers as this highlight offense. They're not anymore.
They're not. They're really not. You know, it's funny. Aaron Rodgers' completion percentage over the last 2 months, his passer rating, it's remarkably average.
Yeah.
And that's not a shot at him. It's okay. He's had two collarbones. He's not quite as mobile. Probably doesn't want to get hit. The older you get, quarterbacks, you know, Brady we saw this year, no interest getting hit. Eli, no interest. I'm with you. I think Green Bay wins kind of ugly.
He's great. Aaron Rodgers is great. And I say that about him with deference to how things fell apart between him and McCarthy because of what he's been able to do with a new coach. He's really resigned himself to say, it's your offense, I'll run it. And they've done a really nice job. And he's one of the most devastating deep pass throwers in this league. So if they lean on their run game against a depleted Seattle team because their offense can't produce, and if they get an early lead and it's Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith off the edge against Russell Wilson with a terrible pass-blocking offensive line, this is going to be one of those games where we see the Packers in control early and they'll lean on them the rest of the game. It isn't going to be a sexy win. It's not going to be one of these box office games where they're trading blows all the way down the field, but it's going to be a Packers win and they'll advance.
Yeah, Seattle games all kind of look the same. Like the ones they win and lose, you know, you look up and you're like, oh, it's 23-20 and there's seven to go. That's kind of how Seattle wins. They don't have the firepower to blow you away, but they have the player that can win a game where they're outplayed, and that's Seattle. Okay, Rich Ohrenberger was absolutely magic today.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Former Wall Street Journal writer, then Bill Simmons got smart, hired him at The Ringer. Kevin Clark, newly married and everything. Always funny, always smart. It is great to see you on a Friday. This is one of the great weekends of the year. Four great NFL games. College football national championship on Monday. It is great to have you here. So, you know, we were talking earlier that my goofy take was that when young tech kids, 18 to 28, are looking for seed money and they go in and they present it, mm-hmm. And you're kind of, how do they communicate? Where do they go to college? Do they have a plan? Are they providing something I don't have? We give them $18 million, and we think, well, they earned it. Jimmy Garoppolo was 7-0 at the University of Belichick and UC Kyle Shanahan. And then everybody's like, whoa, $26 million. And I'm like, no, I mean, we give money to Baker Mayfield, and he's never played outside of the Big 12. I didn't have a problem with the Garoppolo contract. Were you a little cynical initially when they gave him 26 large?
I understand why they do it. They gave him $41 million in cash last year. They had the cap room, and so now that the cap hits are okay the rest of the time, this is the cost of doing business in the NFL. I mean, you can keep trying to find the guy, or you can get the guy and you can commit to him. That's it. I mean, that's what quarterbacks cost after the first 4 years. And so I wasn't offended by the contract. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo with Kyle Shanahan and with George Kittle and with Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders, that is an elite production quarterback.
Yeah.
This isn't a contest to see who can make it the hardest. It's a contest to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And you can win the Super Bowl. We can see that with Jimmy Garoppolo. They're the one seed. I think they're the best team in the NFC. And so if they can build a team, and by the way, everybody makes excuses about paying quarterbacks and not being able to build a team. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have shown you can pay a quarterback, you can build an infrastructure around them, you can draft well, and you can build a really good team. So I'm not offended by the contract because they clearly knew how to make it work.
By the way, I can love the way John Elway retires, and I can love the athlete Muhammad Ali and hate that he fought Larry Holmes. I like a neat, tidy, present, wrap a bow, Tony Gonzalez. I can still play Derek Jeter. I'm out. I do think with the band breaking up in New England, Brian Flores, Dante Scarnecchia is getting older, Josh McDaniels may take the Cleveland job. I do think it's time. I probably in the minority. Where do you land on Brady in retirement?
Well, I think that it's bigger than just Brady because you look at the core. Okay, Devin McCourty's a free agent. Guys like Matthew Slater who help run that locker room, they're free agents. And so I think there's a bigger changing of the guard than even we think about. I think Brady should come back for one more year. He obviously wants to. I think that it's funny. There have been a lot of studies done last couple weeks about how quarterbacks age, and essentially they fall off a cliff. There's not a decline. Pro Football Focus had a great piece about this week. There's not a decline. There's a cliff, and I don't think we've seen that cliff yet with Tom Brady.
Okay.
And I think he kind of wants to see how far he can draw it out. I think he said in the past he wants to play till 46. That's based on some real baseball science. Tom House, some of those guys who've coached him, they think, okay, Nolan Ryan was able to have the mechanics until he was 46. Tom Brady could too. I think they want to see how long this TB12 method can go, how long he can do his avocado ice cream and stay healthy. I think there's a challenge to this now, unlike anything he's ever faced in his career, and I think he likes that kind of challenge. Hey, can I be productive at 43 or even 44?
Kevin Clark at The Ringer. So Josh McDaniels feels like to me there's a rock star quality to him. I say this, so certain franchises, I call them low self-esteem sports franchises. Cleveland's one of these, the Mets for years, the Jets. When you play in the shadow of somebody, you know, Steelers down the road, Ohio State football, here's Cleveland. And they reach. They reach on quarterbacks. They reach on coaches. They look for the Baker Mayfield. They said, we like his leadership. They do this. They reach. And Josh McDaniels has got a lot of hubris. There's some Lane Kiffin, high IQ, lower EQ. I think he's going to be the guy. If he is, I know Denver was ugly. Could it work?
At this point, you take the Cleveland job for one reason. That's to work 1 year and then get paid out for 4 years. Because of that, I'd like to put my hat in the ring there. I'd love to work 1 year and get paid out for four.
Like a 401k in your 30s.
That's amazing. Take a couple years off, watch a bunch of movies. So I think that that's what's happening. And the Browns have doomed themselves to failure by not knowing what they want. They've had 5 coaches and 5 GMs. Their longest tenured coach this decade is Hugh Jackson, which is just astounding. And if you're Josh McDaniels, how can you go into Cleveland and think that this is going to be any different? How do you not know that in a year Jimmy Haslam's not going to say, hey, wait a second, we don't like this either. And now all of a sudden they're hiring their 7th coach and their 7th GM. I mean, the only way to guarantee failure is to keep starting over after a year. It takes 6 to 8 months to even settle in the NFL into a new job and learn who everybody's names and all that stuff.
And so, they don't have a great GM.
They don't have a great GM.
That's another issue. And I'm not into Baker like everybody else, but I think it's fair to say he's impulsive. Can you coach him out of that?
I think you can, but I think you need a time and an infrastructure. And you need, this isn't like Dallas where it's a quick fix. This is a long-term culture fix. This might take 2 full years just to get the bad juju out of the building, okay? And so I think that with Baker specifically, listen, you can't have that kind of talent that he showed at the end of 2018 without being just a naturally good passer, and that can be brought out of him again.
Yeah.
I still believe, against all evidence in 2019, that Baker Mayfield can be a good NFL quarterback. Is Josh McDaniels the hire? I'm not sure, but what I do know is if Jimmy Haslam in 12 months decides to start over again, they're going to ruin not only his career, but everybody else on that roster's career, and they're going to doom their franchise again.
For the record, I think Baker will be much better next year. If Jim Schwartz I don't like, I think then Baker's career is done. But if they get Josh, I do think he reboots. He's okay. I never thought he was Drew Brees, but I do think he's a franchise quarterback. All right, let's go to the games. Kevin Clark, The Ringer, joining us. Vikings and the Niners, a lot of similarities. Pass rushers, all three levels of defense. They like run games. I go Niners. You say what?
I say Niners as well. I think they're the best team in the NFC. I think there's a lot that cancels out in this game. The Vikings are better than any team at covering the tight end. George Kittle is the best tight end in football. The Niners are the best at taking away the deep pass. Kirk Cousins is a very good deep ball passer. So I think that it just comes down to a couple of different little things, and that would be roster talent, coaching, and quarterback. And I would say, again, Garoppolo with Kyle Shanahan is a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins in that infrastructure and with that talent around him. So I'm going to give the nod to the Niners because of that. I think it might be close, but I would say maybe 10 points. I think the Niners are really good.
Okay, I like the Ravens to blow out the Titans. Rich Orenberger, who's very bright, does not calling the upset. How do you see it?
I think it's Ravens, too. I think it's similar to the Niners. They're the best team in their conference, and they're going to win. I think that Lamar Jackson is... You know, there's so many theories on how to beat Lamar Jackson, and no one has really done it in any meaningful way. The Chargers did it when he was basically a different player last year.
Oh, no, he wasn't the same guy.
With seven defensive backs. I had a conversation with a guy named Jerome Baker, who plays linebacker for the Dolphins a couple weeks ago, and he said that the problem with Lamar is if you're too slow, he'll just run right past you. But if you're too fast, he knows exactly how to use that against you. And he knows exactly how to play the angles and just let you overrun him. And that's the problem with Lamar, is if you're too fast or too slow, you will fail. And that is the problem that every defense has. Either they're fast and physical and they can't touch him, or they're too fast and they overrun him and they overthink this thing. He crosses the line of scrimmage at 13 miles per hour when he runs, which is, I drove east to west in Los Angeles. I did not go 13 miles per hour at any point during that drive. And Lamar Jackson, that's his average. I just don't know how an NFL defense reckons with that. And then you add in the fact he's the third best passer by passer rating. I mean, it is going to take something very, very special. I like the Titans. I like Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, all the stuff they've done. I think you add in on the defense the Ravens blitzing and Tannehill's propensity to fall down over his career. I don't see this particularly encouraging for the Titans.
All right. Andy Reid off a bye is remarkable. They get one here against the Houston team that was outgained and trailed more than led. I can't. If I was a sports gambler, I just would not bet Texans games ever. I think they're impossible to figure out. They're a flag football team with 4 minutes to go with the best flag football quarterback in the league. Kansas City feels like a significantly better team. And by the way, Kevin, their defense has been terrific from about last 6 weeks.
Yeah, Kansas City's all we wanted last January, all anybody talked about in the media was, well, if the defense gets a little bit better, the defense gets a little bit better, they fire Bob Sutton. Well, that happened. In fact, they've gotten a lot better over the past month. They shut down the Patriots, although that ended up not being as big of an accomplishment as we thought. But then they hold Drew Lock to 3 points, Mitch Trubisky to 3 points. They have been solid. Tyrann Mathieu's playing really well. And so I think that generally, this is the team we wanted to see last January. The only problem is Mahomes is not putting up the numbers he put up last year, but he's basically the same guy. I feel like we've all collectively forgotten. It's like the Beatles movie yesterday, right? We all woke up, and I feel like I'm the only person who remembers how good Patrick Mahomes is.
Yeah, it's just
great. Not talking about it. We're talking about Lamar Jackson.
And I've said this before. I like Lamar, but if you said next 10 years, who's the better quarterback, I'm like, Mahomes is going to run the league.
Yeah.
He's an unbelievable all-time transformational talent.
Without a doubt. And for all the things Lamar does, the hardest thing to defend in the history of the NFL is a perfectly thrown pass. Patrick Mahomes throws perfect passes.
Yeah.
And that's why I think, okay, Justin Reed is a really good player back there for the Texans. They're actually pretty good against the deep ball. But I think that they just have too many weapons in Kansas City. I think Travis Kelce will be able to pick them apart. I don't see this as anything more than maybe a 10-point game.
All right. Finally, Seahawks-Packers. Seattle, it's you know, listen, if you listen to this show, I think in my lifetime, Russell Wilson's the most underappreciated college or pro player I've ever seen. People forget he went to conservative Wisconsin, completed 73% of his throws, 33 touchdowns, 4 picks, but because he was an inch too short, we're not going to take him. People think Lamar was underdrafted. Literally, all Russell Wilson did in college at the most conservative offense was create a fireworks show. I give Seattle kind of a shot because of Russell. Do you?
In this game, I actually think that the Seahawks are going to win very, very close.
Wow.
Now, the Packers, I think, are a better team than we give them credit for. I saw some stats. They're the worst, one of the worst 13-3 teams in history.
Oh, they are.
That's a nice problem to have. I'd rather be one of the worst 13-3 teams in history than one of the best 9-7 teams.
Right.
So, listen, the Packers have done a nice team-building job. Z'Darrius Smith's one of the best players in defensive football
right now. What a get he was at a really good price.
Really good price. And could you imagine if he stole on the Ravens, how good that team would be?
Oh, my gosh.
But he leads the NFL in pressure right now, and I think that they've done a nice job again of building around a really expensive quarterback and figuring out what they needed to do in free agency. It's basically as good as you can do when you're paying a quarterback that much. However, I think Russell Wilson is one of the 2-3 best quarterbacks in football. I'd actually say it's right now it's Lamar, Wilson, and Mahomes.
Trent Dilfer told me last week, he said it's the best football player in the world.
Yep.
It's not crazy.
And he can make plays. And now DK Metcalf breaking the rookie record for receiving yards last week. I mean, DK Metcalf is a good example of what smart teams do that dumb teams don't. They looked at DK Metcalf and said, what can he do, not what can't he do? Okay, he couldn't run incredible routes. The three cone was down. He couldn't change direction well. What can he do? He can run really fast and catch passes and score touchdowns. And that the Seahawks didn't overthink it. Now they've got a connection there. I don't, you know, obviously the running game is not where it needs to be. Marshawn Lynch is not going to be as productive as the guys he replaced who are injured. But I think this comes down to the last. Listen, you should not have sustainably close games and win. That's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to, you know, it's supposed to be 50-50 or whatever.
That's right.
But the Seahawks have made it work. They understand how to play in close games. I think they win this game. They're almost like the Bizarro Chargers, right? Everything comes down to the end, but instead of the Chargers who screw it up, the Seahawks make it work. I like them close in this game.
Kevin Clark, The Ringer, you just do terrific work. You're just still 33 years old?
Yeah, I just turned it, yeah.
What kind of future is that? It's crazy. It's unfair. He's our Lamar. He's just got 10, 12 years of nothing but great articles. The Ringer, Kevin Clark, go to what's your Twitter handle here?
At by Kevin Clark.
All right. That's, again, very clever. It's great seeing you. On all your success, happy marriage, good luck going forward. Love having you on the show.
Thanks.